Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I'll take Canadian musicians for 800, please.
This quartet is comprised of three siblings and are known for their languid, haunting sound.
Ding!
Patrick.
Who is Rush?
No.
Who is the guess who?
No, Patrick. First of all, you only get one guess. And second, think languid.
Oh, got it. Who are DOA?
So, Patrick, this shelf here on in your basement, is this the marketplace or is this your own collection?
That is my own collection of various compilation albums. These are all compilations. This is the marketplace. That's the marketplace. That's the marketplace. That's the marketplace.
Okay.
And this is all the marketplace.
My eye is always drawn to these because there's a lot of like box sets and stuff. Yeah. And so they're kind of easy to read the spines and all that stuff. But one thing I was just noticing here is that you have a couple of records put out by the National Geographic Society.
I do. Yeah.
Or collections, I guess they are. One is the music of Spain and one is the music of Trinidad.
Yes.
And I'm intrigued by this because first of all, you don't think of the National Geographic Society as being a record label.
Right, but they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I bet that's pretty interesting stuff,
it
right?
Is they, cool
because they probably do a really good job of collecting music that's somehow tied to the culture of those places.
That's exactly what it is, and they're well recorded, and there's also pretty interesting liner notes, as you can imagine, for those kind of releases. I love getting those sort of music of a country kind of things when I find them. Yeah. Love to collect the whole series.
Do you get those at a Goodwill somewhere?
Probably.
Or something like that, or a garage sale?
Whenever I come across them, I'll buy them.
Kind of thing somebody probably had in their collection.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, and the other thing I have down on this end is the, do you remember these Warner Brothers samplers that they would give you? The coupon was inside the record, and it was like $2, and you sent away for it, and they made all these samplers. I've been collecting these recently, too. They're pretty neat, yeah. They were usually double albums. This is actually the last one they made was in 1980.
Okay,
Take a look at that, and you can see kind of where Warner Brothers was going at that time. That one's called Troublemakers, but I think it was $2 to send away and get that record.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were really well done, but they were kind of like, they called them the Lost Leaders series. That was the name of this series, the Lost Leaders, because, you know, it was, you give it away and you turn people onto a cut from all the other new albums.
And then hopefully they're going out and then buying full albums by some of these artists, right?
Exactly.
So this is, So let's see what we got here. We have like the Buggles, for example.
Right.
Devo.
Yeah.
Gang of Four.
It's kind of their new wavy, you know.
Modern Lovers.
Modern Lovers. It's a pretty good set.
Public Image.
Yeah.
Wire.
It's a good set.
This is something, man.
I know. It's really, really good. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, check those out. The Lost Leaders. You can usually find them pretty cheap if you keep your eye open in the used bins. You know, you'll see them in the $3 bins every now and then. You just got to keep your eye peeled for something that has just sort of a cover and it doesn't really have any other info, really.
So this kind of cracks me up because the Modern Lover song that they put on this compilation is Government Center.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember you had a story about one of your kids really
MJ
had some attachment to that song.
Loves Government Center.
I think that's great because I can't imagine somebody like listening to a compilation like this and hearing Government Center and being like, that's the band I need
to go buy
the
that
record.
Album. Right? Yeah.
If you are that kind of person, then, you know, God bless you. You know, you're our kind of listener, but
you're a troublemaker.
Government Center.
We got a rock at the Government Center.
That's right. It's wonderful. All right. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We are focused at this time of year on showcasing listener favorite albums from the past year, which was 2018. We asked people to call and tell us about their favorites.
So nice.
We got like 30 calls, something like that.
Incredible that people took time to do that
for us. It's amazing. And so let's get to something here.
All right.
Hey, y'all. This is Scott calling from Marietta, Georgia. First off, thank you guys for all that you do. It is greatly appreciated. You guys asked for our picks for Album of the Year, and here's mine. All That Reckoning by Cowboy Junkie. The album was released in July, and from my first listen, I knew it was going to be difficult to supplant as my favorite for 2018. It's been said that dark times breed creativity and foster artistic expression. If that is true, then Cowboy Junkies have taken full advantage of the 6 years since they last put out a record. Lots of things in the outside world have changed in that time, and Michael Timmons, the principal songwriter and guitarist of Cowboy Junkies, has channeled all of his rage and confusion over the political and personal challenges since their last record into this newest one. In the press materials for the new record, he says, quote, "It's a deeper and more complete record than we've ever done before. These songs are about reckoning on a personal level and reckoning on a political level. So much is going on around us right now, and nobody knows where it's going to end up," unquote. Cowboy Junkies have always done the dark, slow, brooding songs that give off that eerie feeling that something is not quite right, and this batch of songs does not disappoint. When Margot Timmons sings, quote, "Fear is not so far from hate, so if we get the folks to fear, it only takes one small twist to kick it up a gear," in the song, "The Things We Do to Each Other," it feels ripped straight from current events. On Sing Me a Song, which is a propulsive guitar-forward rocker that would have felt at home on some of their mid-career like albums like Pale Sun, Crescent Moon, which has Jay Mascis from Dinosaur Jr. on it. They're great songs. On Nose Before Ear, that's another one of Michael's creepy, uneasy songs, which is akin to Hunted or Murder Tonight in the Trailer Park from Black Eyed Man, another one of their mid-career albums. And by the time we get towards the end of the record, there's a song, All That Reckoning Part 2, and it seems like all that seething anger and confusion that he's feeling has just boiled over and is just crying to be released. The album closes with a sparse song that is just Margot's voice and a ukulele. It's called The Possessed, and it's a story of finding the devil in various disguises and eventually becoming him by beating him at his own game. In my opinion, All That Reckoning fits easily with the best of the Cowboy Junkies canon, and I hope you guys agree.
Fear is not so far from hate, so if you get the folks to fear, it only takes one small twist to kick it up a gear. Oh, oh. And you can control hate, but only for so long. And when you lose control,
Cowboy Junkies.
Yeah.
Another band, kind of like we were discussing yesterday, a band that's been around for quite a long time.
Yeah.
This band's been around since the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still putting out new stuff.
Yeah.
And I, you know, kind of lost track of them as well.
Me too.
You know, I didn't realize it. So nice to hear from a listener who's obviously really knowledgeable about this band, really have been a loyal follower, right?
Yeah, now. Scott, that was so eloquent. There's not a whole lot we can really add to that. I think, you know, what he said, really beautiful. Obviously, I spent a lot of time with this record too, which is really cool.
It's good to hear.
Yeah.
All right.
One interesting thing, Jim, really quick, I found a quote from Michael Timmons from the Cowboy Junkies, who are Canadian, right? I think they are.
Okay.
But it touches on something we've talked about earlier this week, and also, you know, we talk about when he's talking about, he basically says, a whole album is a lot of work. You sort of begin to think, does anybody care anymore? But it's hard for us to think about singles or whatever format people are purporting to be the new way of putting out music. So if we're going to record for us, it's going to be an album. So I thought that's kind of interesting.
There you go.
Yeah. So they're going to do a whole album project when they record.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
And they are Canadian. They're from Toronto.
Okay.
So you win the Jeopardy question.
Ding, ding. About
that. Bands from Canada.
Mm-hmm. And Marietta, Georgia. That's another state that I'm going to check off on my list. Check.
Yeah. Was that the first call we've gotten from Scott, I think?
Might have been.
Maybe. Well, he gets a mixtape,
yes,
right?
He gets a mixtape.
So people who called in, left messages for all this, they're getting a mixtape that we are putting together,
right,
with some of our favorite songs from last year.
Gonna be sending it out to Georgia.
I think we can handle that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the phone lines.
Okay.
I'm really excited about this one.
All right.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, it's Scott Parks from Valparaiso, Indiana, heeding the call for my favorite record of 2018. Got a lot to talk about, so you may end up having to EPJ me together. Never been really one to be good at picking favorites, and also never really one to be very good at following the rules. So I'm not going to give you just one. I'm actually going to give you three releases with another list of things that I really, really enjoyed. So 2018 has been a great year of music. Father John Misty had a great album. I love the new Courtney Barnett. The new Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks was awesome. Love Wide Awake by Parquet Courts. What a Time to Be Alive by Superchunk is rocking and amazing. And then Jeff Tweedy late in the year released one of my favorite records of the year called Warm. Kind of a nice welcome back to Tweedy after, you know, some releases that I haven't been a huge fan of with Wilco over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. But none of those hit the top of my list. I had two records that were new this year that I would consider to be my favorites, if I could even say that. Like I said, never really been one for picking favorites, but two kind of stood out. First one is Double Negative by Low. This record is absolutely amazing. Not sure if you've listened to it. It's really hard to even describe what this record is like. It's quiet and loud. It's jarring and beautiful all at the same time. It has to be listened to from the beginning to the end and then basically turned on again. It's that good. It's really kind of hard to listen to at some points with some of the production techniques that they employ. Sometimes the vocals are unintelligible, but you can kind of catch this melody below the cacophonous music, and it's just beautiful and awesome. I love it. It's crazy that a band that's been doing this for 25 years would release an album this challenging at this point in their career. But it's really something that I think anybody that is a fan of music should listen to this record and give it some time. If you give it the time, you're going to get way more out of it than ever than what you put into it. My other favorite release of the year couldn't be any more different than Double Negative by Low, and it is Tree of Forgiveness by John Prine. Debut album, he's writing songs from a younger man's perspective. And his new album, Tree of Forgiveness, he's writing songs from, you know, his perspective now. His one of his songs is about needing help opening a can of pork and beans, at least part of it is. He's reminiscing about trying to pick up girls as a teenager. One of my favorite songs is the last track on the album, and he's writing what he's going to do when he gets to heaven. Hint, he really, really misses smoking cigarettes. So it's a wonderful piece of work. I love it. I can't wait to continue to listen to John Prine for years to come. And he is touring in 2019, so I'm hoping to catch him on that tour. Those two I really love. They are not my favorite release of the entire year, though. My favorite release is actually a reissue. It's called Love and Work, The Lioness Sessions by Song Zahaya. It is a box set reissue of one of Jason Molina's masterpieces, The Lioness. It also has a second LP of completely unreleased material that was recorded during the time frame that he recorded The Lioness. Recorded this around the times in the late 90s, 1999. He was living in Bloomington, the home of Jim's beloved IU, with his then-girlfriend, Darcy. He recorded this album with the Arab Strap in Scotland. And I love The Lioness. It's an amazing record. And the second LP of unreleased material, it's ridiculous that this stuff has remained unreleased. It really makes me happy to know that there's such good music available that maybe will be released in the future on additional, you know, re-releases and reissues of Jason Molina's work. The box set's awesome. Comes with some ephemera that are replicas of things that he had either kept with him on tour when he was away from Darcy, or replicas of letters and things that he had written and sent to Darcy. It is amazing. So if you guys have a chance, it is vinyl only. It was limited edition. They are re-releasing it again, repressing it again, but it is available on Spotify and all of the streaming services. So it's Love and Work, The Lioness Sessions by Song Zahaya. So keep on rocking. Sorry you have to EPJ me together, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
That was a great call.
Oh, that was fantastic. It's always great to hear from Scott. He's so enthusiastic, and he's just so into music, and I love hearing him talk about what he's into.
I was just going to say, you can just hear the passion for these records, you know, and not just one record, but like at least three here that he really went deep on. He explains to you why he connected with them so much, and they're really different. And one thing I want to say before we get into the Songs of Haya is the John Prine thing. I find this really interesting. He's not the only person I've known in this past year who has discovered John Prine. I think because of this record he just put out, and it's gotten a fair amount of attention, people are then going back and listening to his older stuff, and they're becoming new fans of John Prine. And I'm sort of in that camp. I kind of knew his stuff, but only in the last couple of years have I like sort of really gotten into it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about John Prine. Have you ever met someone who, when they heard John Prine, was sort of like, yeah, that was okay?
No.
You
know what I mean? No, exactly. They're much bowled
over.
You
become a big fan.
You do?
You know, you sort of like, you go down this then John Prine rabbit hole and you become kind of obsessed. That is kind of an amazing thing for an artist who never really got that far past kind of cult status.
Yeah, exactly. And it really is a, you know, kind of body of American work that largely remains, you know, undiscovered to many people who are rock and roll fans in this day and age, but yet it's out there waiting for you to, go and uncover it.
I would encourage everyone to do so.
Yeah, certainly.
All right. One thing I want to say about Songs Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Now, are you familiar with this, this new collection of unreleased material?
Just from reading about it. Yeah, I don't have it and haven't ordered it, but certainly I know The Lioness. It's, you know, a Hallmark record for Jason. And I was really intrigued by this set. I was moved by reading the book, Riding with the Ghost, that Aaron Osman wrote, and talking a lot in that book how Jason would collect a lot of little things that he found, objects, and he would keep them and hold on to them and sometimes put them in like shadow boxes. And he wrote a ton of letters. You know, he was constantly writing and writing letters to people. So it must be a pretty cool thing to have.
So this second disc is songs recorded, you know, outtakes. So stuff that was recorded, not put on Lioness. There's some stuff from some other, another session as well, a few songs.
Yeah.
Most of them are from the Lioness session. So let's just spin that track one on that record.
Sounds good.
Is On My Way Home.
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Wow.
Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I think that it's great that Jason's work is continuing to be discovered and honored and kind of put together that way, because certainly he deserved it. And obviously, you know, had a lot of demons, but worked hard at his art. And it's great that he left all that stuff behind and we get to listen to it. And hopefully it inspires another generation of singer-songwriters to create their art and stick with it, no matter what the circumstances. I'll also say on that note, I'm glad Scott brought up the Low record, because it's gotten on a lot of lists this year. It's a band that has been making records on and off. Alan Sparhawk and Mimi Parker, just the two of them, who are married since 94, 95. And they've been on Sub Pop for the past, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 years or something like that. And it seems like they put a record out every couple few years. And it's always beautiful. It's spare. It's haunting. It's, you know, obviously you can tell a lot of emotion goes into their records. And this one, I'm really glad to see a lot of people listening to, and it got a lot of critical praise. So it's, they're a really cool low-key band that people, again, you know, kind of take for granted. I think if you're into them, you know, you kind of got into them because you were into indie rock in the mid-90s, and they have sort of stayed within that same, you know, kind of level. And I for one, greatly admire a band that can do that and just continue to put out cool records.
Totally.
And, yeah.
Totally. So we'll play out. We'll play out with some Low.
Yeah, that'd be great.
How about that?
Uh-huh.
From Double Negative. But before that, I want to say one quick thing about Songs Ohio.
Sure.
And Jason Molina. This is a movie recommendation, a new movie recommendation.
Okay.
There is a movie that came out in 2018. It's a very small indie movie called Hearts Beat Loud.
Okay.
Okay. I just watched it on Hulu the other day. It just got posted there a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. And I loved it. And here's how it relates to what we were just discussing. The movie stars Nick Offerman, who you may know as Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
He plays a record store owner in Red Hook in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Sort of the aging, hipster type. Big bushy beard and this older guy and he wears a lot of, plaid and stuff like that. But anyway, he owns this record store and the movie goes on to he sort of connects with his daughter who's about to go to college through music and they start writing some songs together and it's very sweet, very charming. Love it. Also Ted Danson has a supporting role in it as a bar owner.
Really?
So
imagine that
right there. You got to see that. But throughout the movie, Nick Offerman's character will mention, try to turn people on to certain bands that he likes. And at one point, very early in the movie, he's trying to get somebody into Songs Ohio.
Oh, neat.
And the song Captain Badass is playing, and he even sort of talks about the song a little bit.
That's very
so
cool.
It's not even just like listen to this, but he gives you a little history of Jason Molina and
Really?
Sort of
that's
talks
awesome.
About what he loves about this particular song and all that. It's great. The other points, he's trying to turn somebody on to Animal Collective.
Oh, really?
You know?
Wow, that's very cool.
There's mentions of like Slater Kinney and stuff like that. So it's great. You can tell.
That's really cool.
I'm watching the movie kind of thinking to myself, like, somebody wrote this movie just for me. Like, who is that person? I need to meet that person.
Cool.
So
Hearts Beat Loud.
Hearts Beat Loud.
Okay,
so check that out.
All right. It's on the list.
All right. So let's wrap this up with a little Low.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So Double Negative. Uh-huh. Was there a particular song we should play off of this?
Well,
are you familiar with this?
I'm a big fan. Yeah, I like it. I'm a big fan of Disarray, the last track. But I will say they're all, kind of like Low music. And it's, you got to kind of get into it, in my opinion anyway, and kind of be in that mindset. I like to listen to it in the morning because it's contemplative and stately. Like, it's a good way to describe
it.
Yeah,
very good. All right.
Yeah, we'll give some Disarray a try.
All right. That sounds good. Please listen.
Every day.
Please rate and review our show. Please tell other people about our show. Please, I don't know, what else?
Get their phone and subscribe to them if they're not subscribed.
Do that. Do not cause any physical harm to anyone else, but anything short of that, we
politely
will endorse.
Steal their phone and subscribe them.
That's right.
It would be great.
Also, you can you can correspond with us, as these people have. You can call 612-440-1984. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com. Or you can find us on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, not the Hulu.
No.
At Suburbs Pod.
Yep.
Not yet, at least.
Not
okay.
Yet.
All right. Here we go. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
This is Disarray, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Now that the question is not even so there's like a ding.
Yeah.
Okay. Ding. Okay.
Yeah. Ding.